is Will Tinkin.
Thanks for listening to the Bitter Comics Podcast. And here's your host, JT Foreman.
Good job, dude. Can I have a high five?
Yes.
Good job. That's really nice.
And thank you once again to William Tinkin for our wondrous introduction. Yes, this is the Bitter Comics Podcast. I am JT Foreman, and I am here with my good friends, TK the Cookie Baker, Kuchenbacher. He has everyone call him the Cookie Baker because no one can seem to pronounce Kuchenbacher.
Or
Kuchenbacher
right.
Is not that difficult. Spelling it, that's a problem. You know, I might need an abacus to spell your name. That's how difficult it is. And abacus is about counting numbers. That's how difficult Kuchenbacher's name is to spell, that you need a thing that uses does numbers to spell it. And, of course, his lovely fiance,
Dr. G.
Dr. G.
Is here.
Dr. G hits the spot. Yeah. I don't know what that means.
Well, she's giggling, so you must have found the spot.
So, guys, thanks a lot for coming to do the show. This is episode 60 of Bitter Comics.
60.
So
60.
That's right. So we begin once again with our opening segment.
Well,
thank you. Thank you very much. We begin once again with our opening segment. JT was a real prick last week.
Aww.
In which I apologize for the cruel, offensive, and probably racist things I said last episode.
I wish I was here for that.
So, for my insensitivity in episode 59, I would like to apologize to black people.
His neighbors.
Jews.
Across the street.
Homosexuals.
Not on this side of town.
Anyone who has never committed a felony.
Definitely not on this side of town.
And diapers.
Right outside the driveway as we pulled up.
Now, many of you probably need an explanation for some of those. Well, just check out episode 59 and all our previous episodes at bittercomics.podbean.com. If you feel I owe any additional apologies, send us an email to bittercomics@hotmail.com. And in the subject line, please put, you shouldn't have William Tinkin do the intro. You should have him host the show for you because you suck.
That's a very long subject matter to write out.
Well, it's an important subject. William Tinkin is awesome. Last episode, I had Kevin Tinkin.
Yes.
And Josh Allen Stout on the show.
Two very popular, fast-rising comics here in Fresno.
And Kevin apparently told his son where he was going. He's like, yeah, I'm going to do a radio show. He's like, oh, can I help? Sure you can. So he recorded the intro, and I'm going to use that intro from now on. That is now the new permanent intro for Bitter Comics. Mainly because often guests, I have to twist their arm to get them to just throw to me. I mean, is it really that difficult to say, welcome to the Bitter Comics Podcast, here's your host JT Foreman? No, it's not that difficult. You know how I know? Because a 3-year-old did it.
Three. Who can't read yet.
Can't read yet? Actually, I think he's 5. But anyway,
he better be able to read.
Real little kid. Little kid did it. Little kid can handle it. Grown-up should be able to handle it. There's only one thing the little kid is allowed to handle that the grown-up is not, and that's his mom's breasts.
Well, grown-ups that are not related to his mom.
And I'll be apologizing to breastfeeders next episode. How's it going, guys? Thanks for coming on.
Fantastic. I am full to the gills.
You made great food.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I found a recipe for chicken tikka masala on allrecipes.com. But I removed most of the salt from the recipe because it was just way too salty.
Folks, I wanna let you guys know out there, JT does not stand for Jerpinder Ting or anything like that. He is not Indian in the least bit. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you, this dish tonight that we ate, I would have thought it was made by somebody who owns a liquor store. You know what I'm saying? This man can cook, and he is white as paper.
Would it be a relative of you?
I'm not that far in Middle East.
Just so you know, that was not intended to disparage owners of liquor stores. Because my experience, owners of liquor stores are very intelligent people.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, because the smart...
And fearless.
I'm pretty fearless too. I mean, you want to run a liquor store, people come in... There's a reason that the joke about liquor stores is that they're called the stop and rob. Okay, because they get robbed a lot. But in my experience, every liquor store owner knows like multiple languages, so they're just they're all smart. It's like I've probably told this story on the show before, but the guy who owns the one near my house, my dad's house. I'm standing in line waiting, and he says something on the phone to someone in one language, and then yells to his like brother or cousin in the back in another language. Wow. I don't know what the two languages were, but I know they were different because in one of them he cleared his throat, and in the other one he spit twice. So I know they're different languages. And then he spoke to the guy in front of me in line in Spanish, and then spoke to me in English. So that's a minimum of four languages. So I asked him, and he speaks five.
Wow.
Hindi, Farsi, Spanish, English, and German. Apparently, he lived in Germany for 3 years before he emigrated to the United States. So this is a smart dude. This is a very smart dude. And you know what? Liquor stores make really good money. So he is a smart dude.
Oh, definitely. You know, definitely. He knows where the best beer comes from in Germany. So, of course, he's going to have a liquor store out there.
Yeah. Actually, I should have asked him if he ran a liquor store when he was in Germany, too. That would be interesting. But, you know, something I found out recently is that, did you know that Indian food is the Mexican food of England?
Wow.
No.
That's Mexican food is the stuff you eat when you're drunk at 2 in the morning.
No, that makes sense because a lot of Indians live in...
Yep, England and Great London. Britain. Yeah.
Is that a huge...
No, that's very true.
There? Yeah. So it is there. So if you go to London and you're wasted at 2 in the morning, you're obviously going to want something... greasy and spicy with cheese. I don't know why, but that's what drunk people want to eat.
Right.
But Indian food's healthy.
And never has cheese in it.
But it's greasy and spicy.
Yes.
And you can always put cheese on it. So think of like the chicken tikka masala I just made. Put that in like a pita bread pocket and then sprinkle a little cheddar on top.
Ooh.
Oh, man.
No, hey, I think
the cheddar... At 2:30 in the morning, you will not think twice.
Well, what cheese would you put on there? Like Parmesan or...
They usually use that...
Goat cheese.
Oh, like goat cheese?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I think cheddar would be good on it, though. Because, to me, like the thing I just made, it's got a tomatoey sauce, but it's really spicy. So it's like you're mixing Italian and Mexican food.
Heyo.
And cheddar cheese is for Mexican food, and it's okay on Italian.
I see where you're going.
I prefer mozzarella on Italian food.
Yeah.
I think that when I go get a pizza and they put cheddar cheese on it, they're being cheap.
And you want to throw it at them?
Well, it just
that's
annoys
what this
me.
One thinks.
Well, I don't want to throw it at them. I'm still going to eat it, but it is the good shape for a discus. And
yes, know. Very much so.
But the Indian food is the Mexican food of England. I thought that was fascinating. And you know what the Mexican food of France is?
No,
American.
Yeah,
burgers and shit. Yeah,
yeah.
There was
Big Mac, Le Big Mac.
Yeah.
When I was quarter pounder with cheese.
When I was in the Navy, I was in France a couple of times on ships, and they had this thing called the smash sandwich, which you take the small like single sandwich size piece French bread, you cut it open, and then you put the hamburger and the cheese and the French fries in it, and then you put it in this waffle iron thing smashes it and toasts the French bread.
Wow.
And just eat it like that. I put a bunch of ketchup on it, but yeah.
Wow. That's an American panini.
A panini? I'd never heard of panini.
Oh, man. Paninis, Italian sandwiches that are grilled like that in a waffle iron.
Oh, cool.
Amazing.
Awesome. I like food. Actually, I do cook a lot.
Do you
people
really?
Ask me, do you like cooking? I like eating. So since...
Well, you're a good cook.
Well, thank you.
I like handouts.
Yeah, I don't know that I'm a good cook. I know that I can follow a recipe.
You're not a lazy cook because a lot of people just go get box stuff and then add some ingredients to it. But you did like full-on...
Yeah. Well, you know, honestly, I started cooking more lately because I can't afford to take my girlfriend out. And cooking for her still impresses her enough that I might get laid maybe. So
I like how that whole sentence came out, and then at the very end, there was a maybe.
Maybe.
But he worked his ass off cooking for her, had her come over, had her eat it, enjoy it, and still it was not a guarantee.
It's never a guarantee.
Her clothes were coming off that night.
Well, you know, if it's a guarantee, then now I'm just buying sex with food, and she's a whore. And my girlfriend is not a whore.
Definitely not. We saw photos already. We encouraged.
She's very pretty. She's very, very pretty, and she's the sweetest daughter in the world. Very happy kid.
Those of you listening out there, I encourage you to get out, spend a little money on some picture frames, donate it to JT here so he can put some photos up in his own home and complex of this lovely girlfriend.
Yeah, my the walls in my apartment are blank. It just, if I put stuff up, then when I eventually move out, I have to take it down. I'm just lazy. If I want to look at her pictures, I've got them on my phone. And I have them on my laptop, and I can look at her pictures
anytime I want. Speaking of laptop, he's got connections here, folks. When he's done using his laptop, he can take the same connections, set it up to a 48 to 50-inch screen television that is suitable for an entire computer system to be ran through. Unbelievable. Well,
I have a 42-inch flat-screen TV.
42.
And I not have cable or an antenna or anything, so I am actually using it as the monitor for my computer.
Smart. A very good...
I have Netflix and an Instant Watch, so I watch photo movies album on there all the time.
Yeah, if you've got Netflix, then you're set. Oh.
And, you know, I think a screensaver that a lot of people use is something I probably ought to do is get a whole bunch of photographs, and I could... But, you know, I turn the TV off when I'm not using it, though, so...
And that would kind of be your
photo album. Yeah.
On the wall.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I wonder...
Seriously, just how let long it scroll it's gonna, over.
You can already go and buy those digital photo frames.
Yeah.
Where you can load, like, 40 or 50 pictures into it, and then you just put it up on the wall, and it just kind of scrolls rotates through all of them. It's got a little button so you can move to the next. But here's the thing. They're all made in China. And I remember reading about this one model that someone had...
I know, I'm seeing where this is going, because he is dating an Asian, folks.
Someone had put a virus kind of thing in it, so that when you plug it into your computer to download the photos, it uploads that virus, looks for credit card numbers, and then sent them to a website that was set up there in China. So somebody, snuck into the digital photo lab factory, you know, where they're making the frames, put this virus onto it, and then it ended up getting on a bunch of people, stole a whole bunch of people's credit card numbers. So yeah, I guess I'm a little worried about buying that. See, buy American. At least that way, because you're just as likely to get ripped off by some virus, but at least it was an American who ripped you off.
True, and it's more than likely usually an STD virus you get from Americans.
An STD, yeah.
Yeah, those STD ones. Yeah,
the virus you're most likely to get from an American is an STD.
Yeah, one of those you're STD ones. Right. They just... But just stop by Planned Parenthood. They'll fix it up for you. I'm talking about your laptop, folks. They'll fix your laptop for you.
So what are you looking at? Oh, the candle that my girlfriend gave me.
I was going to say, that's Bath and Body Works.
Yes, my girlfriend gave me this candle. It's not actually on right now, but Island Colada, Slet Skin and Company scented candle.
That's a sign. She's slowly moving in. Yeah, that's a sign.
Well, that's the only thing that she's left here, though.
So far, that you've noticed. It starts with little subtle hints. It's a candle. Then before you know it, over by the couch.
She wants this place to smell good if she's going to be coming over here.
Right.
Well, the thing
it's
going
to be your compact mirror over there.
She always wants me to come over to her place, though.
Nice.
But, of course, her parents are there.
Oh, not nice.
And her her daughter is there. That's so okay. If we go over to her place, then we don't get to do anything. And if I convince her to come over to my place, then I get to try to molest her. I mean, get to try to snuggle.
Folks, so, he was talking about the mother. Yes, he's going to molest the mother, not the daughter. He's very good. He did use the word molest, folks. But again, that's for 18 and
I'm
over.
I'm trying to snuggle. I want to snuggle with my girlfriend.
What's your definition of snuggling, JT?
Sex.
It's the step that comes right after spooning.
You have been seeing TK a while, haven't you?
Spooning leads to forking, and you know.
So you're hanging out with a lot of comedians, so you're starting to understand how we think.
This will be 13 years of knowing one another.
Well, that's how long you've known each other, though. Yes. How long have you been dating?
How many times in those 13 years?
Well, yeah, but how many times have you been dating? Or how long have you been dating?
We could count in that section of 13 years, probably this is our third go at it. And after three chances, we can total.
You've only had sex three times?
No, I'm just kidding. There's a period of time there that we weren't officially a couple, but there were years there where, like,
you were just kind of friends with benefits?
Very good benefits.
I'm looking for a friend with benefits. But the one woman who thought she'd take me up on it offered dental. So
hey, dental is another form of oral, so if that's the kind of benefits you're getting, what's wrong with that?
Well, you know, if you have a sore tooth, getting it pulled is really more important than getting a blowjob. It is. If you've ever had a sore tooth, you understand what I'm talking about. If you had a sore tooth and someone said, I'll pull your tooth or you can get a blowjob, which would you choose? It's a difficult choice. You got to think about it.
Well, I don't want to be giving the blowjob with the sore tooth because it's not going to make it any better. No.
I'm not asking you to give a blowjob. Okay? Unless you're offering. I mean, if you're offering, I'm not.
He's going to pick a blowjob. Because he'll pull it out himself.
I'm getting a blowjob.
He would have just hooked the string up to a tractor.
Yeah, my own tractor.
Right. And then he wouldn't go to the dentist afterward. He'd go buy like some kind of oral.
Yep. I always do. I have two of those bottles in the drawer right now, just so I avoid the dentist.
Well, on that note, we're going to take a break real quick. I am JT Foreman, here with my good friends TK Cookie Baker and Dr. G. We are the Bitter Comics, and we'll be right back.
Tag yourself here.
This is JT Foreman here with TK Cookie Baker and Dr. G. We're the Bitter Comics, and we're back. What exactly are you a doctor of? Are you not a doctor yet?
Pornography.
A doctor of pornography? Doctor pornography at the G-spot. No, you're working on your doctorate right now, aren't you?
She's a forensic psychologist.
Oh, okay. Wait, forensic psychologist. Isn't there a TV show about that? Where they solve crimes and stuff?
You name it. CSI, all of them have.
That's right. I'm definitely.
Your bones. No, wait. That's forensic anthropologist. No, that's forensic anthropologist.
Look up the whole lineup of all Fox.
People have
primetime
a total
shows.
Misconception of what a forensic psychologist
well,
is.
Well, I think the problem might be what it's called because, okay, forensic psychologist. You got forensic, which is study of stuff that's dead and gone.
No.
At least, well, see, that's what people think it is.
Right. TV.
Yes. Yeah. And then psychologists, what are, you know, how people thinking, their emotional state, all that kind
of
stuff.
A merge
so it's
of
like
law
it's like a therapist for dead people. It doesn't make any sense. So it can't possibly mean what everyone thinks those words mean. So what exactly would
just what you said, we're like, you know, we have ESP senses and we get in contact with the dead.
Awesome. No, actually, you probably do like psychological profiles of criminals based on the crime that was committed. That's honestly how I envision it.
Some people do.
Is like you know, a forensic psychologist shows up at the crime scene and says, oh, "I see, you know, okay, well, you see how the blood splatter is on this. This is a lot of force, so there's a lot of anger here. This is a very angry person. Well, you know, he did kill 12 people, so thanks for coming out here and informing us that the blood splatter shows that he was angry. You know,
and then she's like, check, I just made like $750 for walking up and doing
exactly.
That.
No, so what? Seriously though, what? It, if you don't mind talking about what does forensic psychologist?
It's like a merge of law and psychology.
Okay, so like.
So a lot of people that are in this field go on to work in institutions with criminal populations. Some people go into jury selections. Some people go on to get their JDs and become lawyers as well as psychologists.
Okay.
So it's kind of.
Be honest, you're dying to be the warden of a prison.
What was that movie with Gene?
Absolutely not.
What was that movie with Gene Hackman? And, let's see, the girl from the original Mummy movies, I think, was in it. I can't remember her name now. And John Cusack?
Oh, Identity.
Identity. Was it Identity where John Cusack got himself... No. John Cusack got himself on a jury.
Oh, Runaway Jury.
Runaway Jury.
Like what Gene Hackman does, that's one of the things you might end up doing as a forensic psychologist?
Not me.
Because
he was a juror profiler.
He was a jury profiler.
Yeah, probably. I think there's a few people that I know of that had graduated way before me that ended up doing jury selection.
Yeah, jury selection.
Some people are in the FBI.
And you know, and what's great about it, you don't have to have a law degree for that.
Huh.
Yeah, and you could be.
You just have to be
courts.
Able to convince people that you can do the job.
Yeah,
and that you're worth the $200 an hour that you're going to charge them to sit next to them in the court.
People, it's probably more than that.
Well, it depends on if you're working for Fresno County courts or if
the case is sufficiently
Los Angeles.
Important that the legal team. Feels the need to hire people to help them with jury selection, there's probably millions of dollars at stake. So, yeah, I imagine that the person doing jury selection gets paid a lot more than
those
a couple hundred dollars.
Those will be like federal cases.
Yeah. Probably. You know, it's like when a famous case I can think of just off the bat where they probably had people assist with jury selection would be like the Firestone tires that exploded and killed the people driving the Ford Explorers. I bet they had jury selectors because that was hundreds of millions of dollars at stake.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, cool.
Major lawsuits.
You know what? Honestly, that sounds like a really interesting field to go in, even if you're not specifically doing that. So, cool. That's awesome. And TK, he picks grapes. And He owns the grapes, though, or it's yes. like your dad's.
No, it's
like your dad's. Me.
Well, I'm on the property. My dad works in the city of Fresno, but yeah, I've been out there for 12 years. It's like you could call me like third generation farmer.
Yeah, he's third. He owns a big vineyard.
Saying
he picks grapes. Well, he does pick the grapes, but they're his grapes, and yeah. you know. Is that for wine or raisins? Or
we lay down for raisins, and I also sell it fresh too off the vine. Oh. So like you would buy it at the grocery store or at a farmer's market, that you kind know, of thing.
See, that concept has always fascinated me. The idea that come and pick your own, and we'll sell it to you by the weight. It's like, you know, usually you got to pay people to pick that shit.
He read my ad in the Fresno Bee Classifieds. He must like, have been researching me.
It's like, all right, wait a second. Hold on. You want ads. Me to pick your fruit for you? And then pay you.
Yes.
And then buy the fruit from
you. Exactly.
It's like, there you go. That's awesome.
That is exactly.
And of course, in your defense, well, it's fresh from the vine.
What? How does he? It's
fresh from the vine.
Folks, I am not feeding anything this to JT. He has either read my ads in the Fresno Bee Classified ad, which, by the way, you can pick up each and every day here in Fresno, California, or surrounding cities. I do have that ad, and he read it. Precisely as to what I do each and every day. That is wild. I don't know how he knew that.
Here's the thing, though. Go and get yourself a bunch of grapes from Save Mart or Vons, and then go to TK's place and buy a bunch of grapes from him that you pick right off the vine. If you get them when they're ripe, you get them right off of the vine, they're going to taste so much better.
Yes.
Oh,
because
absolutely.
Fruit and vegetables, they're more crisp. The yes. flavor is much stronger. They're yes. juicier. If you get them right when you pick them, yeah. than they are if they've been.
I can't afford a cold
taste
storage.
Better. It yeah. really does. It does taste better. And that's why it's okay for him to trick you into being.
Come on out.
The great picker for him.
You pick and you pay.
it's like going to buy auto parts at the Pick and Pay where they charge you admission to walk in
yes,
the place.
Yes, Pick and Pay.
That's insane.
Oh, my gosh.
I was
incredible.
My Geo Prism, someone stole or one fell off, one hubcap.
Okay.
I had a 92 Geo Prism.
All right.
91. And so I wanted to buy one hubcap.
That's all.
And I go to this hubcap store and they're like, all right, well, that'll be $45. I'm like, for a Geo Prism? I don't think the car costs that much anymore, dude.
Goodbye.
So I go to the Pick and Pull and I was like, yeah, do you know if you got a Geo Prism here? And it's like, well, I mean, you can just go in and look and see what they got. Everything's like in order yeah. by make and model, so it's easy to find what they have.
Right.
I was like, all right, and oh, wait, it's $2. Wait,
for
what? For admission.
Oh, it's like a
I have to pay $2 just to go in?
And it's not a guarantee that they have what you're looking for.
Yeah, he wouldn't even tell me if they had a Geo Prism or not. And if they had a Geo Prism, do they have the hubcap that I want? He either couldn't or wouldn't tell me. So I got to pay him so that I can go in and find out that they don't have the part that I want? That's insane.
Yeah, it's non-refundable.
Yeah.
And it's even worse than that nowadays,
you know,
too.
If they would at least give you that admission price off the purchase
yes.
of the part,
yes.
it wouldn't bug me quite so much. Because
And if you don't show up with your own tools, you cannot buy tools
yeah.
from there. You have they have to go out and do it, and then you're still out money again,
yeah.
so it's like either way you look at it.
Yeah, if you don't bring your own tools, you know what?
Sell that Geo Prism yeah. next time.
Yeah, yeah.
With only three hubcaps.
Well, just everywhere else that I've ever lived that I've gone to a parts picking place.
Yeah, a graveyard.
I went to get. I had to replace the in the 91 Geo Prism. The alternator sucks. Just like everyone, I want you all to know that right now. If you have a 91 Geo Prism, the alternator sucks. Of course, your car is 20 years old now, so the whole thing probably sucks now. But that's not the point. I had to replace it three times. The first two times I replaced it, I went to a junkyard and got one. That was in Norfolk, Virginia, and once was in Seattle, Washington. And both times, the pick and pull type of place that I went to, they didn't charge admission. I'm like, yeah, you got any Geo Prisms? Well, Toyota cars are over there. Because the Geos are basically a Toyota.
Pretty much.
Were anyway. And
Chevrolet so, trying to compete with Japanese cards. Yeah.
So, and I was able to just go in there. Oh, here it is. Pull it off and then pay for the part when I left. they didn't try to charge me admission. I mean, you know, they should have at least have some rides if they're going to charge admission. You know, I want a Ferris wheel, or I want, you know,
possibly
a golf cart to drive me down to the other side of the place where
any kind of ride. JT would like any kind of ride. Folks, if you're a dirty mechanic and you want to fill him up, he'll pay $2 for that.
Yes. You know what? Any kind of ride. That's the only kind of ride I can get. Yes. I'll take it. But if I'm going to give you $2, I want a ride.
Or a complimentary bag of popcorn like Red Carpet does.
Heyo, Red Carpet Car Wash. Tonight, folks, this show's been sponsored in part by Red Carpet Car Wash, thanks to Dr. G giving them a full plug of their business. I'll be over there tomorrow paying $4.99 for a ride and shine on Tellurian 41.
You know, I've never gone to the Red Carpet Car Wash. I've gone to a couple of those, but I haven't gone to there.
I don't know if they do anymore.
The particular ones, the right ones.
Well, you know, popcorn is so cheap that giving it away as an incentive to people is just, you know, it's, you know, once you pay the couple $100 for the popcorn maker, it's so crazy inexpensive.
Right.
I mean, that's why that's what movie theaters want to sell you. Because it's
At $8.50 a bowl and $9.50 a bowl.
Actually, the money from the ticket sales, almost none of that goes to the theater. Almost all of that goes back to the movie company.
Yes.
So the theater, all of the money they're making is actually off of the snacks that they sell. So, and because, you know, they have to keep a place air conditioned and they got this huge building, it's really expensive to own a movie theater. So they charge a fortune for whatever you're going to eat.
I'm just curious, as you're talking about movies and money being made, how is it that, like, out here in the Central Valley, and we went through a string of so many movie theaters closing, though. We just in Clovis alone, the city of Clovis, out here east of Fresno, there was a six-screen movie theater at Sean Willow closed. There is a eight-screen movie theater in front of the Sierra Vista Mall on Clovis and Shaw closed. How, within each of them closing back-to-back, like in a two-year time span, they went out of business. That blew me away. And they were both United Artists.
Well, my opinion, of course, I don't actually know cinemas. For sure, is that the biggest thing that has caused theaters to close is that other theaters open up with stadium seating.
Ah, that's true.
And both the fact that even though the guy theaters. In front of you is 7 feet tall and is wearing a giant cowboy hat, you can still see over his head is a big deal.
Yeah. And neither of those two theaters had that.
Those two that closed. Right. And then plus at Sierra Vista, they opened a new stadium seating theater on the other side of the mall from where the eight screen that they already had was. And the new one they opened on the other side of the mall has a whole bunch of restaurants right next to it also.
Yep.
So, you know, they kind of ran their own other movie theater out of business.
Very much so. And a whole section of that.
The theater at Clovis Town Center, honestly, I think the only reason it's still in business is because they turned themselves into a $3 theater.
Yep.
So if you don't mind waiting 4 months to see Batman, because they just got Batman this week.
Oh, awesome. I hope there's not a shooting in there.
And they just got Avengers last week.
It's only $3, folks. Why would you shoot up an audience when you only paid $3 to get in? Really? It's just Batman, folks. It's just Batman.
It's just Batman. Well, you know, here's the thing. I don't know if either of you guys... You don't look like a video game player. No offense, Dr. G.
When I was younger.
TK, you look like you might play some video games.
Used to. I used to. Well, I stopped at around, like Sega, Genesis, Super Nintendo time period.
There's a video game for PC called Diablo. There was a Diablo 1, 2, and 3 is out now.
Okay.
A character in that called named Deckard Cain.
All right.
Sounds exactly like Bane.
Bane. Oh, all right.
From the Batman movies.
Yeah, with the mask in front of his face and everything. Yeah, that's how we actually first started our dating a couple of years ago when I got back into seeing the great Dr. G here. Took her, honestly, to a $3 movie theater there in Clovis, and I'm not ashamed of it. It definitely saved some money, and I was able to spend a little bit more on dinner afterwards. And as JT would say, if you wine and dine your counterpart the right way, things... can go your way.
That's not entirely true.
Uh-oh, folks.
Well, see, here... I've discovered that women actually, in my experience anyways, if you take them to the cheap theater or to the matinee showing of a movie, they hold it against you.
Oof.
Well, because some guys do that to either hide their
brokenness?
No, well, like if you're purposely only taking a girl to a theater because you're... don't want to be seen in public in a real theater with her. Does that sound familiar?
It's a real theater. I mean, we sat there with popcorn, and I paid the tickets, and I...
That's not... That wasn't where we went first.
Well, it was where we frequented quite a bit.
Yeah.
Yes.
No. But,
I mean, we had some really wonderful dinners there. I brought Subway sandwiches in. I catered you to
food into the
Quiznos. I brought in wonderful gourmet sandwiches from Quiznos.
I'm just giving you a hard time because I think we went to the Manchester one.
Oh yeah, Regal 16 or whatever it is. Yeah, we did that one too.
Wow,
it's a little pricey though after the 5 o'clock hour.
Well, we movie hopped.
Oh, see, folks, she reminds each and every one of you that I know how to save money by seeing two or three movies.
At once, yes. I used to do that a lot when I was a teenager.
It's one ticket.
And it's really, really so not embarrassing whatsoever when they come to you because someone leaves their cell phone in the other theater that they were in.
Yes.
And realizes it and then gets caught and escorted.
Escorted, folks. I was literally escorted by a security guard. He had every piece of equipment on him but a gun. He had everything to get me out of that theater but a gun.
So those guys are serious. They are almost as serious as the fruit inspector at the border of the state.
True.
Don't mess with those dudes.
Serious bears.
I'm not afraid of the mace. They have guns. I'm not afraid of the pepper spray or mace, but folks, when you see a baton and you don't know where it's going to be used on your body, that's the most scariest factor. Yeah. A security guard with a baton.
And on that note, we're going to take a break real quick. I am JT Foreman here with TK Cookie Baker and the great Dr. G. We are the Bitter Comics, and we will be right back. This is JT Foreman here with TK Kuchenbacher and Dr. G. We are the Bitter Comics, and we're back. All right, we were talking about movie hopping and how it's not bad. What you're doing is getting back at the man.
Yes.
When you movie hop, because it's to say that it's highway robbery, what they charge to go to a movie these days, is such an understatement. It's like interstate system robbery. I mean, covering the entire United States. TK's getting a drink of water, and I want him involved in this conversation. So, till he gets back, I do have a question I'd like to ask you, Dr. G. Now, the standard traditional date is what? It's a dinner and a movie, right?
I guess traditional.
Okay. Well, that's the traditional date here in America. Now, your opinion. Should you go see the movie first, or should you go to dinner first?
I would want dinner first.
You would want dinner first? All right, now, TK, what is your opinion on that? Should you?
I always try and take a date to the movie first, because usually the movie's going to be more expensive than dinner, because if you go to the night showing of movies, you're talking, nowadays, anywhere from $11.50 all the way up to $17 per ticket for a night movie of any movie. It could be children's movie, it could be X-rated adult, whatever.
But if you get there before 6, it's like $7.
Hey-o! Now you're talking. Now,
but if you eat dinner first, you won't have to buy food there, because you already ate. So you're pretty much spending the same amount.
The girl
amount
is always going to make you buy popcorn and soda.
Not if you just come from eating a big meal or whatever.
Yeah, she will. She'll make you buy it even if she doesn't want to eat it.
That's or bonbons or some kind of ice cream thing that's like $9.50 there at the concession stand. I just spent really good money at Olive Garden, because we all know how Olive Garden's a great first date. Mm-hmm. Unlimited breadsticks.
See, here's the reason that I asked that is I always get that answer from women that you've given me, Dr. G, and I always get that answer from men as you've given me, TK. But here is the reasoning behind it. Usually, for women, it's she wants to go to the movies afterwards. She doesn't want to do
dinner
first, because if she decides to kiss you goodnight, she doesn't want stuff in her teeth. And if you just came from dinner, she hasn't had a chance to kind of clean her teeth out. At least that's what most women have said to me. I'm not saying that's your reasoning. That's what most women have said to me.
That's why you buy a gum.
That's what I said. Now, for the on the guy side, and I agree with this point, the reason you go to a movie first is because often on a first date, you really don't know a whole lot about each other. So this gives you at least one mutual experience
to talk about at dinner,
so at least you can start a conversation. So what do you think about the movie we just saw? And it
segues into
so much eases.
Yep.
It relieves the stress of that first date. So that's why I think you should go to the movie first or whatever kind of show you're seeing.
But just don't go see a movie on a first date that probably has like Brad Pitt in it or George Clooney, somebody that's attractive that could be competitive to you. So you don't want to take your woman out on a first date to a movie of that nature.
Well, plus what happens if you get to the restaurant and there's a 45-minute wait and now you miss the movie?
It's not his fault. Or,
so, well, that's it. If you go see the movie first, and then you get to the restaurant, there's a wait whenever.
Yeah, because coming out of the movies,
the girl I'm seeing right now, if anything goes wrong on a date, she's now mad at me for the rest of the week.
Wow.
Even if I have a backup plan, you know, I'll even say, well, you know, I thought this might happen, so we'll do this instead. I had this right. Oh, and she's mad at me for not planning. I had a backup plan. But she still says I didn't plan if the first thing didn't go right. But, so, yeah, maybe she doesn't really love me. Anyway, so you think that you should go to the dinner first and then, or you should go to dinner first and then see the movie.
Yeah.
Because you want him to spend more money on the movie.
No, you're, nothing's worse than going into a movie when you're hungry. And you don't want to load up on, at least it's just me, I don't want to load up on that stuff.
Junk food, right, at a movie. That makes sense. That makes sense.
You don't want to be starving and then be all, I don't know.
Well, if I go to dinner first, then halfway through the movie I have to go to the bathroom.
Well, on a first date, like, isn't that awkward going into a movie first when you're going somewhere to not socialize. You're going somewhere to sit next to each other.
No, you're going somewhere to have an experience.
But you're not socializing. It's your first date.
Well, no, you're going to socialize at dinner. And
if you're black, you'll socialize right through the whole movie. Right, folks? Right, folks? If they're black, you know what I mean?
Hey, black people talk to the screen.
They talk to the screen. They talk to themselves.
I should be nervous about that, but, like, that's kind of awkward. You're sitting a whole 2 hours. You're watching. I think you're probably half watching the film. I'm half wondering what the person next to you is thinking.
You know, it's...
And in my head, all I'm thinking when it's my first day, I'm like, I want to hold their hand. I want to hold their thigh. Yeah, where do I
know each other yet?
What's a good touch? What's a bad touch?
What is a good touch and a bad touch?
Well, on the first date, you know, that's why we use movies to figure out the good touch and bad touch.
I understand. I understand the reasoning behind both sides. I have to say, I still disagree. But I do understand your point of view. And there, one thing I will agree with is that, you know, it hadn't occurred to me that the creepiness factor of this is our first date and the very first thing you want to do is sit alone in a dark room for 2.5 hours. I get that. I understand where the creepiness factor of that comes in.
Yeah, but so. You're just not focused on the movie. I wouldn't be focused on the movie. And then you'd at least...
Yeah, I mean, to me, I'm watching the movie.
And then you go and watch a movie together.
Yeah. Well, see, that's why you get to the movie a half an hour before it starts, so you're sitting there in the theater talking for 30 minutes before the movie starts.
But if you see the movie last, you have a longer time to talk about it afterwards.
Now,
it's a longer date.
She's making up all of these reasonings and excuses right now, but there's still the point of what she first said was, oh, he just wants to go to the cheaper one, so the women wants you to spend more money.
Well, wait, there's a difference between what you're talking about and TK.
Hey!
So you know he's not going to spend money on it.
She just looked in my wall, folks.
You
got to
wait till you get married so you can put your name on the account. I'm kidding.
He sounds like a sales rep at Chase Bank. Mm-hmm. Folks, this moment is sponsored in part by Chase Bank, where relationships start or stop real quickly. Chase Bank.
Yay. Okay, so actually, let's play a game real quick.
Game on, sir. Game on.
I'm going to read. I don't have a name for this game.
Are we and against each
if
other?
If anyone else, yes, you're against each other.
Yes.
You're in a relationship. Of course you're against each other.
Penis versus vaginas.
Yes, penises versus vaginas. But I'm not on either side. What
that's ethically. That's politically correct to say. It's anatomy. Body parts.
Okay. Well, okay, here's how the anyone out there, if you have a name for this game for us, just send us an email to bittercomics@hotmail.com and let me know what you think the name of this game should be. Maybe playing it again in the future. But here I have three headlines for the same article. And I want each of you to tell me which one you think is the real headline from that article. Oh. I'll give you a short description of what the article was first, and then I'll read the three headlines, and you tell me which one you think was the real one.
Got it.
Okay. The first one is a gentleman named Conrad Black is on trial. This is up in Canada. What he is on trial for isn't really relevant. He's on trial. Here are the three headlines. Black jurors hung. All white jury on black's case. Or black jurors stumped.
B. All white jurors on black's case.
Okay, and which one do you think? Dr. G?
Can you read them again?
Black jurors hung. All white jury on black's case. Black jurors stumped.
The last one.
And you're correct. We got 1 point for Dr. G and wow. zero for TK. Black jurors stumped.
Black yes, jurors
apparently
stumped.
They do have a hung jury. And
well, that's his last the person name, who, right?
Conrad Black.
Yeah.
Yes,
so letter C was the correct answer.
Yes, C was the correct answer. Now, he... the jury was it was a hung jury, which means they couldn't come to a decision. And the writer of the article, despite being in Canada and not the south of the U.S., was intelligent enough not to go with black jurors hung. Although I think that's what I would have written, just because I think it's funny. Okay, so the point total is at TK at zero, Dr. G at one, and here's our second question. Okay, a dead body was found in a cemetery. That's the article. Here's the headlines. Funeral ends in tragedy. Graveyard visitor joins residents. Or dead body found in cemetery.
A. Funeral ends in tragedy.
Dr. G?
Last one.
I'm afraid both of you are wrong. Graveyard visitor joins residents. That was
where
the,
was this written?
This was in Massachusetts. It was an article from about a month and a half.
That is that's freaky.
So a dead body was found in the cemetery.
Wow!
It turns out the person was there visiting. The guy was there visiting his deceased wife and had a heart attack while he was there.
Oh, well, wow. That makes more sense. Why they'd put I want to say there's a comical spin on that.
Like, well, see, I think that's why they went with graveyard visitor joins residence, because he was then buried in the same plot with his deceased wife.
That makes more sense. Wow. Okay. Wow.
And finally, this one wasn't actually an article. This was a one ad. Someone was trying to sell their 2000 Mercedes S500. Now, the point totals here, TK's got zero. Dr. G, you have one. Now, it's possible to tie it up. I'm afraid you're out of the running to win this.
Right.
But you can clinch the win here with the right answer. So, here we go.
So, what is it again? Sorry.
This is an advertisement selling a 2000 Mercedes S500.
Okay.
Okay. A. Never farted in. B. Only stolen twice. Or C. Former pimp vehicle.
B, only stolen twice.
Only stolen twice. And, Dr. G?
Man, all three of those are great. I'm going to go with the last one because that's great. That's
former
great.
Pimp vehicle?
Yes.
I'm afraid both of you are wrong.
What?
The advertisement for the 2000 Mercedes S500. Never farted in.
Wow. Actually, that is a more selling point than saying only stolen twice.
Yeah. Yeah,
former pimp vehicle, because the last two is not a strong enough selling point.
If it's a former pimp vehicle, then you always got to be worried that he's going to come back for his wheels. You know, and if it's been stolen twice, well, you want to buy a vehicle that is that likely to get stolen?
Man.
So, never farted in. You know, the fancy schmancy pants people who would drive a Mercedes S500 might be such to the point where, although their farts don't stink, they know everyone else's do, so they wouldn't want to be in a car where anyone has ever farted.
Congratulations, Dr. G.
Congratulations,
Dr. G. Did I win anything?
You won another free Starburst that you brought to the table.
Actually, yeah, your prize is I'm going to give you
a half-used
30
candle.
Seconds to say anything that you want. You can talk about how great you are. You can make fun of TK. And no one is allowed to respond to anything you say. You can even make fun of me if you want to. No one's allowed to give any comebacks. Ready?
No. Let me... go ahead and start something
else. Three, not two, one. 30 seconds, go.
Talk about how much you love Basset Hounds.
Wow, you and I are seriously meant for each other because I could think of anything and I was going to say, my dog is wonderful, he's cute, he's a Basset Hound. Whoa.
I saw you talking about sleeping frozen.
You could complain.
That right there is...
You could complain to him about how much he farts in bed and he's not allowed to say anything bad.
It's not even in bed. It's all over. It's around. It's all around.
Yeah, well, you got another 15 seconds. You want to complain.
I'm not he's Dutch. Not allowed,
no. You don't get to say anything back. 15 more seconds. You don't get to say anything back. If you want to go ahead.
TK isn't that bad.
Okay.
TK's wonderful.
She's much nicer than you deserve.
I'm way more than I deserve.
On that note, we're going to take
a
break.
That's a step up.
I am JT Foreman here with TK Cookie Baker and Dr. G, the wonderful, the lovely Dr. G, who is much too nice to her boyfriend than he deserves.
Yes.
We are the Bitter Comics, and we'll be right back.
Where you're.
This is JT Foreman. We are the Bitter Comics. We are back. TK Cookie Baker and Dr. G. What's the haps with my peeps, yo?
Man.
I don't know what that means. Some Asian kid said it to me the other day, and I assumed I was being robbed.
What's up, peeps?
We went to a show at Vinny's place in outside Madera last
night. The Hills.
Now, Vinny's place is, I wouldn't describe it as the middle of nowhere. Because
it's called the Twilight Zone.
It's like kind of the edge of nowhere. It's like nowhere is this large region away from cities, and it's like the edge of nowhere. So
yes.
Like the border between somewhere and nowhere.
But here's why I agree with JT saying that it is in the middle of nowhere. Folks, you know you might be in trouble or lost or scared when your own cell phone doesn't work and you pay to belong to that really great company that has like an A and a T and a T in the name. Yeah, that company's cell phone services don't work out there. That's when you know you're in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, you know, if you're not in the mountains and you do not have cell phone service, then something you're right. You know you have left civilization.
The only thing I could call this place would be like the actual scenery or the backdrop of where they filmed The Hills Have Eyes. I don't know if it was the first movie, the sequel, the really bad trilogy that they made out of that, but folks, if you ever are on Avenue 21 and you're no longer on Avenue 21, it's because now you're on Road 600. And let's just say that that's just kind of the road you don't want to be on after it gets dark.
Now, this place is already really hard just to find because if you go to Google, say, and type in Vinny's Place, Madera, California, the first thing that comes up is actually some dude's house. Now, when I was trying to find Vinny's Place for a show last month and I Googled it, I asked for the address of the place from TK and he said, just Google Vinny's Place. So I Googled Vinny's Place, and it sent me to this house in the middle of a residential area. And I didn't go and knock on the door and say, does fucking Vinny live here? Although I did consider it. Because, you know, maybe that's Vinny's place. And then whoever's home could tell me where his workplace is. But I decided not to go ahead and do that.
Just Google it. It's right there.
But, sure, now.
As the great Dr. G's using
it was
her.
Like on the third page of Google when I finally did find it.
Well, she's using her smartphone.
Yeah, you got.
And
you're using.
JT used his dumb phone. JT had a dumb phone.
I use my Android, but it's still Google. So, but like the first two pages, all of the Vinny's places were some dude's house in the middle of Madera.
MySpace photos there.
MySpace. I don't know. Oh, MySpace.
Nobody goes to MySpace anymore.
Seriously.
No wonder everybody got lost. They all were Googling off of MySpace.
So I was able to finally find it, but there was another show there last night, which. My good friend Terry Michaels, who formerly was a co-host of the show, he's going to be a truck driver.
Yes.
He's almost done with truck driving school right now.
18 wheels.
He's not going to be completely retiring, but he's certainly not going to be performing stand-up comedy anywhere as much as he used to.
Right.
So basically one of his final shows before he ventures off into his new career. We'll see him on Ice Road Truckers in a couple years.
I'm sure. Ice Road Truckers.
But he was headlining the show last night, so I wanted to go and, you know, give my immoral support. Yes, immoral support. Moral support is just not as much fun as immoral support.
Poor Terry.
So I go out to watch the show, and I end up being hijacked into being part of the show because half the comics didn't show up.
Oh, those Bakersfield boys. Were you able
to get a hold of them and find out why they didn't show?
No. Nope.
I mean, I figured they probably just got lost too.
You know, I was hoping that would be the answer, but not.
I bet another comedian called and said, "What can we steal you? Isn't that what people do here?"
Oh, we won't go on, well, on okay, the air. So, to talk so we don't.
That wasn't TK. That was me. That was not TK. Okay, that was me.
So we don't actually know why the guys from Bakersfield didn't show up.
No, we don't. But okay. I will be respectful enough to say we had a very well planned show for the great people of Raymond and Madera. See, folks, where this bar gets set at, it's on the cusp of the limits of when Madera is no longer Madera, and it's turning into a town called Raymond. So we did make fun of the two towns last night, and we called the show Welcome to Ramada. That's when you got Raymond and Madera having sex together to make one location.
You're going to get sued by the hotel chain. You realize that, don't you?
You know, I do not have any sponsors from Ramada yet, so I do apologize to that hotel corporation.
You see, they're a corporation. You have to apologize to them with money.
Well, if they had a daughter nearly as hot as Paris Hilton, I would just keep my mouth shut. But so far, we have not met Mr. and Mrs. Ramada or any of their daughters. Now, getting back to last night, okay, really so well-planned show. If the Bakersfield guys had been there.
Okay, so the Bakersfield guys didn't show up. So since I happened to be there, you asked me if I would open the show.
Very much so.
And so I opened up. And, you know, normally going first is the most difficult spot.
Very
because,
much so.
You know, you got to try to get everyone's attention and, you know, get everyone into the show. They're not quite in the comedy mode yet. But sometimes you have an audience that no matter what you do, they're just not interested in watching the show. And so going first is actually easiest in that case because the audience becomes more and more difficult as the show goes along because you're forcing them to be involved in this thing that they are dead set against. And that was what I think the comedians who went after me experienced, is that they were trying to play to this crowd who just wanted nothing to do with them.
Yeah.
And Kevin Tinkin got a little upset at some of the people in the audience, rightfully so.
Thank goodness last night's show was not recorded, folks.
And then, of course, John Jones went up third.
The John Jones.
He's a big black dude, and everyone's afraid to say anything to him. So they just kind of quietly sat there and listened to him do his material. they were afraid they might get jacked.
Very much afterwards. So. This gentleman, as we speak about John Jones tonight, he has grown more muscles in areas that not even normal football players have.
Yeah. He's gigantic.
He is
short.
Yes.
And I wouldn't call him a wall of muscle. It's more
he's
like
the guy that is. He's only out like that because some guys walk around like that.
Yeah.
His lats are that big.
Yeah. He can't put his arms down.
He can't put his arms flat against his sides.
No.
Because his arm muscles are so big.
The real funny factor is, folks, because he's so muscular, he can't even tie his own shoes. He wears slip-ons, folks. So don't be too jealous of his muscle mass. At least you folks out there can still probably tie your own shoes.
Yeah, well, you know, I went to tie my own shoes, and I had to hold my breath to lean over. But that wasn't muscles that was causing that. That was my gigantic gut.
Because, so folks, he knows how to cook.
So I went to get slip-ons, but I couldn't find any I liked, so I started going to the gym. But anyway.
What gym do you go to?
Hmm?
What gym do you go to?
Oh, GB3.
Folks, tonight's show, right, sponsored in part by GB3.
Right. Yeah. No, we're not sponsored by anybody. So since we don't have any sponsors, we can say whatever the fuck that we want. And nobody's going to say anything about it, right?
That's right, Ramada Hotel Corporation. Do you get that?
We can say whatever we want. Okay, so
last night, finally,
Terry gets on stage, and now Terry gets up there, and then like half a dozen people from the bar move over to the front row to watch, but they didn't go over there to watch. They went and got in the front row specifically for the purpose of heckling the show.
Yes.
And they just would not shut up. No matter what he said, no matter how much he made fun of them, no matter what he did, no matter how funny any of his material was, and other people in the audience were laughing.
Yes.
And then they were all disappointed because they actually wanted to see a comedy show. I was speaking to a few of the other people who were there in the audience after the show, and they were like, yeah, man, I really hate it when that kind of stuff happens because, you know, one woman, she drove all the way here from, like, Oakhurst or something. And to see a comedy show, so she drove a couple hours to get there and is going to have to drive a couple hours to get back. And the show was ruined by a bunch of assholes who, you know, and there's another thing that doing stand-up comedy has taught me. The drunk Mexican women are mean. Okay?
Yes, they are.
There was a drunk Mexican woman there in the front row, and I'm going to add the word pregnant. I assume she was pregnant.
But not.
She wasn't?
No, she was well over.
She was just fat?
50 years old.
Oh my, 'cause
easy.
She was fat in the way that made her look pregnant.
Exactly. Very much so.
You know, because like a woman who is not fat but is just pregnant, they have a giant stomach.
Yes.
But then the rest of them is not flabby.
Right.
Now, she had this giant kind of torso.
Yeah.
But it didn't appear anyway that the rest of her body was obese. So she was just fat in a weird way?
It was like the roll of the year. We're not talking about cinnamon rolls here, folks. We're talking about just a body roll on this woman where her arms were fine, her legs were fine, her upper shoulders were fine. But that roll really got JT's attention.
She's going to get a job in road construction. Now, here's what she's going to be doing. You know that gigantic...
Put an orange
vehicle
suit on
thing. No, the gigantic vehicle thing with the huge steel, a roller on the front of it that used to flatten the asphalt.
Yes,
they're going to take that steel thing off. They're going to put her in there.
Yes,
and they're going to use her to flatten the asphalt on the roads. Yes. And that's going to be her new job.
That's fine with me as long as she's.
That's what her body shape was basically. Is it just this giant cylinder?
The only problem with
Mexican flab
will be if she still is talking while the machine is rolling.
Yeah, she probably will be. She'll still be talking.
And distract the driver, and then he drives the wrong way and rolls the wrong thing.
She'll still be talking about the gay son-in-law sitting next to her.
Who is a housewife, folks.
Yes, he's a housewife.
We met our first ever homosexual male housewife last night.
He is the gayest person I've ever met. Seriously, he asked about his eyebrows.
Yes.
In the middle of the show, he asked Terry Michaels while he's on stage, what do you think of my eyebrows? You know, I believe it was Terry who said, dude, you're so gay, I'm surprised that the place hasn't caught on fire.
Yes. And
that's
then
pretty
flaming. He proceeded to brag about good he is at doing house chores, from cooking and cleaning to ironing. He bragged all about that. And I thought, well, for a minute there, I just figured he is metrosexual, which, you know, some men get away with being that way and still have sex with women. No, he definitely bragged about not only being that way, but sticking his penis in a man's butthole.
Now, here's the thing, is that he was the fat Mexican woman's son-in-law. Okay, so I assume, you know, they got in there right when that 3 or 4 month period when gay marriage was legal in California. I assume that's when that happened. Where's the son?
Yeah, he was not there last night, folks.
Working if he's the housewife.
Bingo.
Could be.
Well, yes, somebody has to bring home the
Friday
bacon.
It's Friday night at 10 o'clock.
Saturday night.
Yeah, Saturday night at 10 o'clock. So, yeah, I mean, he's working Saturday night so that hubby can go hang out with mom. Maybe so. Maybe he's a stripper.
To top that story, folks, when Terry was still getting over the front row crowd, and he went on with his jokes, and he went on with his set, he honestly, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, this is the kind of show that goes down for the ages. He went on to have some great jokes about Hispanics and blacks and other racial, you know, groups, and a Mexican man from the bar side had the audacity to say, "What was that? You want to see my penis? Well, I'll go up there right now." What? What? And he, folks, again, not trying to impersonate the man or do his voice in any better way. He literally offered our headlining comic the chance to see his cock, penis, whatever you want to call it, during Terry's set of jokes.
I think the housewife would have liked to see it.
No, that would have been really disappointing because he was like 60.
Well, he wasn't really 60. He was just like, older. He was older.
I don't want to say that, early 50s. I don't want to see that until you're that age.
But he was in good shape, though. You have to say that much for the man.
Do you know what a penis looks like when it's 60 years old?
I don't.
Exactly.
But he was drunk enough. Yeah. He was drunk enough.
I was going to guess a crescent roll that's halfway cooked.
He was willing to come all the way up to Terry's microphone area. And give Terry a show to answer to Terry's jokes. It was like a one-upsmanship. I'll show you mine. You show me yours, essay. Because, again, folks, he was Mexican. So that's why I use the essay part there. And Terry is as white as paper. He's actually pink. He's that white. But Terry went on. And
Terry Michaels is so white, he uses proper grammar and punctuation when he sends text messages. That's how white Terry is. Okay, continue.
But I will say, amongst all the hecklers and all the men that wanted to show
wieners, I can't read lips. Just tell me what you're saying. Yeah, say it out loud. Come on. No. Dr. G. Dr. G, come on.
No.
Come on.
I'm not going to put anything out there that I don't have confirmed.
Okay.
So well, okay. I'll pause this and then you can answer your question, okay?
How do I know? I don't believe you.
Well, you can come over and look at the screen. Just ask the question. You're not putting anything out there, you're inquiring.
Wouldn't it have been equal? Because hasn't Terry showed his penis before to public?
He took his picture and sent it to someone who he thought he was sending it to a girl, but apparently the person that he was talking to over the text messages was not the girl who he thought he sent his penis to. Who was the person who was pretending to be this girl? TK, do you remember who the person who was pretending to be this girl was,
TK? I have no idea.
You remember, TK, who it was, TK?
Not
you remember?
At all, man.
You don't remember, TK, who it was, TK? You don't? You sure, TK? You don't remember?
Yeah,
are you positive you don't remember, TK?
I have no idea.
You're absolutely positive, TK.
Yeah.
You know, I heard the story third hand, so it wouldn't really be fair for me, you know, TK, to say that I heard it was a person. You know what I mean, TK? So I
who did
someone who knows firsthand, I think would be best TK to
how long
to tell us.
How long ago was this?
It was like 2 years or something.
And so our headlining comic last night has sent forward his photos of his own genitalia.
I thought he had done it. I was just asking. I thought he had done it on the stage,
like
on
Facebook or something.
No.
So I thought,
he had sent. He thought he was texting with a girl, and a specific girl who he does know. And in the text message, apparently she was being suggestive and asked him for a picture of his penis or something like that. And so he took a picture of his penis and sent it to her.
Does her name start with a T and then the last?
Well, see, once again, I heard this story like third hand. So although I do know who the names of the story are, I don't think it would be fair for me. But TK, you're more closely related to this story than I am, at least so I hear. So I wonder if you could verify who he was actually talking to or who he thought he was talking to. Do you know the names of who these people are, TK?
No, I...
Are you sure, TK, you don't know?
No, I wasn't present at the time of any such photographic exchanges, but...
Incidentally, I'm not implying that TK himself was directly involved in what happened. I'm just... I suppose I'm inferring that TK is more intimately familiar with the incident
with
than I am.
Penis?
Well,
with the incident, just
incident,
you know, involving
so many
a picture of
photos of being sent,
alleged
the
picture, of
and it's
an
ironic.
Penis.
It's ironic because I almost invited the female of question to the show last night with us because she didn't have anything to do last night. Her fiance was out of town, and I was gonna be like, "Hey, remember Terry, your old friend? He's my headliner tonight. You should come on out to the show." And unfortunately, we couldn't convince her to come on out. But maybe he sent her a text at the end of the night saying, "You missed the show." And so we've had some great times last night. There's penises being offered. There's homosexuals in the crowd. It was
drunk
Mexican women.
It's such a funny place because, like, the last time I was there, I had someone who was trying to convince me that Obama was not born in the United States. which is about as crazy right-wing as you can get. And then you got a guy who's flaming so much we're all surprised the bar didn't burn down, which that's as crazy right-wing as I guess you could get. So it's like there's some diversity here.
Oh, big
you know,
time.
It's like, wow. It was really...
And then on top of that...
It was so kumbaya.
On top of that, it was one of those nights where once the show was over, it was like, whew, how do we get out of here?
You just leave.
Yeah. You know, and so the encore of the show actually took place outside when people were having smoke breaks and getting to know the comedians a little better. And pleased to say that if you missed out on last night and you want to head out to the next show, we'll be back up there October 20th, 2012.
Well, see, the amazing thing to me is that the heckler always wants to come up to you after the show and tell you how great you were and how glad they were that they were able to help.
Yeah, yeah. It's always
and
it leads
you know,
in with a line like,
help.
Hey, what'd you think? What'd you think? It leads in with that line like, hey, what'd you think? How was I? Well, first off, buddy, you interrupted my set, so you weren't really part of the show, so I'm not going to tell you how you were, but I should tell you how you should be, you know?
Yeah, what you should do is shut up.
Exactly.
Because even if you're not interested in the show, other people are.
Yes.
And, you know, how about a little bit of courtesy for your fellow human beings? But anyway.
That was the great Ramada show up at Vinny's place last night. Monthly show there. Come on out in October.
Usually very wonderful. Awesome.
Yeah, well, great crowd. You know, the show last time I was there, it was just really long, but it was good. People just started to lose interest after the third hour. You know, just because the show was just way too long.
I do want to send out a special thanks to the staff of Vinny's. They're always very, very hospitable to the
Except
comedians.
Except for the one waitress who joined the hecklers in the front row and was heckling.
Oh, yes. The great Nancy Nipples, I believe
Nancy
her name.
Nancy Nipples is what she was called.
Her birth name is Jamie, though. Jamie Fairchild.
Yeah, Jamie Juggs. We'll call
Jamie
her Jamie Juggs.
Juggs. Jamie Juggs.
Jamie Juggs.
Jamie, if you're out there on Facebook tuning into this and watching this, big shout out to you and
Jerry
your sister.
Her, Nipple Nancy. But she's like, no, my name's Jamie. So I was like, all right, Jamie Juggs.
Jamie Juggs.
Because we have to be alliterative when we do that. You got to use the same letters.
So as I had to leave early last night and get a few of my people home in the car as we carpooled, how did the night close out for you, JT? You had the ladies in the patio with Terry.
Not really. We talked for a few minutes and we left. That's really it. Nothing exciting happened.
Nothing exciting.
No.
You didn't get a chance to ride horseback?
I'm allergic to horses. I have a really severe allergy to horses, actually.
Yeah. Folks, there were horses that do arrive at this bar. It's the safest way to drink and ride. That way... Can't really get a DUI if you're on a horse.
Yeah, you can still get drunk in public, but that's not as severe a punishment. Drunk in public is not as severe a punishment as a DUI.
So. Yes, very true.
What you could just say is, I'm not driving. He is, and point to the horse. guys, thanks a lot for coming out to do the show. You got anything coming up you want to plug?
We wrap up tonight, and I let you guys know we're up there at Vinny's every month, third Saturday of every month. Right before that show, down in downtown Fresno at Teasers World Tea Market. That is a tea market, folks, not a strip club. Let me rephrase that. It is a all-ages functioning cafe tea shop. And that tea shop sponsors entertainment every Friday of the month. The first Friday of the month is comedy. The second Friday of the month is music show, live bands, live singers, called Behind the Mic. Third Friday of the month is a poetry jam or a poetry kind of beat down, kind of competition thing with poets doing their material. And the fourth Friday of the month out there is game night. Yes, folks, that's game night, which is actual board games being played. You can compete in different leagues and different little competitions, as well as a live video gaming system with your Xboxes, your PlayStations, so you can bring out those as well and compete with others.
So if I got a board game I never get to play, can I bring it out there and
every time?
I want to do that.
Always. there's always live and fun things going on in downtown Fresno at the Galleria building. So head on down there. Every event that's ever held there starts at 8 o'clock and is always free.
Cool. All right. And Dr. J, you're not a performer, but do you have anything you want to tell us about? Not really? Okay.
Be safe.
She wants to tell us all crosswalk. To go to dinner first.
Yes.
And then see the movie.
Hint.
This is very fun. I've never done this before.
Cool. I'm glad. Thanks for coming out. I'm glad you had a good time.
Comedians are funny to listen to.
And TK, thanks a lot for
thank you.
Coming out to be on the show.
JT, good times. And thank you to the listeners out there for tuning in tonight.
Yeah. I am JT Foreman here with TK Cookie Baker and Dr. G. We've been the Bitter Comics, and I will talk to you again next week. Peace.